By the power of Beelzebul, he drives out demons. So Jesus pokes at the fallacy of their logic. If you have seen any of the episodes of The Chosen, there is an episode in which Nicodemus is doing seemingly an exorcism in the way in which the Jew at Jesus' time would have done it. There was incense and certain things that needed to be burned, and even in his phrasing, I don't remember exactly the words, it was one of the first episodes, he kept saying over and over, "I adjure you by Moses and the commandments, by Adonai, by the different names of God, I adjure you, I adjure you," in this way of driving out the enemy. And Jesus points out their, the error of their thought. It's like, okay, so the only conclusion that you can come to is that I'm in league with the devil, and that's why I can drive him out. Well, if that's the case, then how about your own people that drive out demons? Are they in league with the devil too? Jesus says it can't be this way, because if a kingdom is divided against itself, it won't stand. And why would I be, driving out demons if I am a demon or the power of a demon? All this to come to the conclusion of what they should be making in this moment. The kingdom of God is at hand. See, that's the problem. So they get in this whole thing about Jesus and what he's doing and how he's doing it. They are trying to put it in the perspective of their logic and understanding, because they don't like him. They don't like him. Looking at ways of accusing him of this or that or this or that, and he's contrary to them. He's against their ways and their actions and their doings, and they don't like him. And what they miss in this whole thing is that which is most important. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is by the finger of God that these demons are being driven out. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And see, this is the issue with Jesus over and over. Not Jesus's issue, but people's issue with Jesus. The problems that they had. They had all these preconceived things. They had these structures. They had these things in which they had built on themselves to maintain this identity, to be assured of their self-righteousness and all of these things. And he came along and said, enough. And they preferred the old to the new. And because of that, they missed their opportunity. They missed this opportunity to enter into truth. They missed this opportunity for grace. They missed this opportunity to rejoice because God has showed up and he's kicking out the evil one. Rejoice. An obvious thing we should rejoice about. And they turn something that should be a moment of rejoicing into speculation, into accusation, into confusion. That's why the childlike loved Jesus. That's why the childlike were able to receive him. I give you praise, Heavenly Father, for you have revealed it to the childlike. The wise and the learned don't see it, because they have bolstered themselves up with their wisdom and their learning. Kingdom of God has come upon you. Rejoice and be glad. God is here kicking the evil one's butt, getting him out of here. Rejoice that this reality is here with you. Can you enter in? Can you receive this? And so enter in. My brothers and sisters, we can do the same thing. We can create our own life in a way of structures and things that reassure us of our goodness and our worth and our dignity. And we can put Jesus in a box. It can be a nice box. It can be a big box. It could be a gold-lined box. But we still stick him in a box in order that he fit into our paradigm. We shouldn't do that to Jesus. It doesn't fit in any box we would ever put him in. He is greater than all. An invitation for us to receive him as he is. To receive him as he is, to know him in truth, has this wonderful, awesome consequence. One, if he is true and we know him, then we know how to live in the world. But also we come to know who we are too, in truth. Amen.